5 o'clock. Great to have you. Odyssey.com Rewind. If you want anything from powdered nuts to me settling a debate, I think, in a fun fashion. Mm-hmm. No vitriol. We open the show with it. A power stat from the cosmos. But Rico, with something on the Tigers, please.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. Tigers have now won four in a row. Last night, they win a game 1-0, a game they normally lose. They swept a series over the weekend. They beat the Guardians, a team at the top of the American League. They got two people going to the All-Star game. Things looking positive for the Tigers right now. I just got a simple question. When you see this, knowing how this season has gone, does this bring you joy? Do you have spite and you're angry that they're now starting to play well? Or have you just hit the apathy stage where I just don't even care anymore? Because this is what you're hoping. They're seven games out of a wild card spot. You know, you're, like I said, last night was what? You won a 1-0 game? You found a way to, you know, the cardiac cats came back in the eighth inning and got the game for you, sending two people to the All-Star game. Looks like things may be turning in the corner for the Tigers. Are you happy? Are you ecstatic and like, yes, this is what we've been waiting for all season long? Are you in spite mode where, you know what? Why are you doing this to me now? I left you alone. Don't drag me back into this. I want to leave you and I want to be done with you. Or if you just hit apathy stage and you're just like, you know what? I don't care. I can't watch you on Bally's. Even though last night's game wasn't, I just don't care anymore. You've reached that point where they've taken all emotion away from you. And even when they do good, you're dead inside. 248-539-9797.
Oh, it's complicated. It's definitely not joy because I don't believe it to be real or substantive, or it's not going to result in anything. I think having the specter over your head of knowing you're going to trade whoever you can trade. Now, again, if the next 3 weeks are the hottest team in baseball and they put together some 14-2 run, it's a different conversation. I don't think that's happening. It's hard because, Rico, I'm not going to switch the topic. I'm sticking with this. I feel like what we opened with today, it does play into this. The idea of identifying what I deem to be, just my personal opinion, a faulty way of entering the season, not adding any bats, bypassing Wyatt Langford for a high schooler. And then, yet, you know, again, now I'm looking at Mark Canna be a $12 million sinkhole. It's hard because that is the spite of it.
Right, because you swept a series for the first time since the beginning of the year against the White Sox.
I want them to win because I don't understand how anybody wouldn't want them to win. It doesn't prove a point like the NBA. Not winning actually can help you. Shout out Cooper Flagg. We'd love you here in Detroit next year. But like I it's hard.
But does it bring you joy because they are winning? Or are you angry like, don't do this to me?
It's not joy because they don't win the right way. They don't win in a way that I can support, that I can feel like is real. And it's also, look, no disrespect. Okay, they won four games in a row, and they've won 6 out of 8. What did they do the 8 games prior? They're still 6 games under 500.
Erroneous. 4-game winning streak.
But baseball is about 10 game samples.
I know.
12 game samples. Rico, it's very difficult for me to buy into it.
But here's a little known fact. You can't get to a 10-game winning streak until you hit a 4-game winning streak.
All right, I'm leaving. I have to leave.
No, but does it like, are you like, yes, this is the team that I thought that you always could be? Or is it just apathy where I don't care? Or is it spite where you're actually angry because you wanted to see this earlier in the year, and now you're giving it to me when you're so far out of the wild card spot that even if you went on, you know, a 7-game winning streak, you're still going to be like 4 or 5 games out of the final wild card spot. So 248-539-9797. What were you about to say, David?
It's spite for me. I'm angry at it. They're doing things, and yes, it may not be the greatest victory in the world, but it's still a victory. And I'm like, why couldn't you get these type of victories earlier in the year when we needed you to beat the Astros? We needed you to win games against the Blue Jays. We needed you to do this, and you didn't. Even if it's an ugly win, give me the ugly wins earlier so I can, you know, get on board with this team. I don't need it now.
So too
you're
late.
So far behind, I don't want it now. Keep losing.
So you're saying it's too late. The love is gone.
It's gone.
Well, it's hard, too, is like, all right, so you win the four in a row. I just got done watching you get hit with a garbage can by the Angels, who are terrible. You know, you've lost series to the Oakland A's. You know, the Marlins series was nuts. It's spite and overnight it could turn to joy. It's spite up until the point I feel like I can believe in it. I mean, I want them to win. I want to have a pennant chase desperately, both as a radio host and a human being who likes baseball. Look, I think for a lot of fans, apathy is what's going to be the order of the day. Look at the ballpark last night. Yeah. That was a sportsgasm summer night, a beautiful summer night. The kids are out of school. They're doing these ridiculous 6:40 start times. Rico, I'd love to give you a number. And Rieger sent photos from the stadium. I don't want to play that game because then the organization's going to get all upset. But you get my point.
We all saw it. Okay, it looked like about 7,000 people there.
Okay, so it looked like, you know, not to be rude, an A's game. That was sad.
Yeah.
It's sad because that ballpark full is awesome, and it's a hard place to play, and it's like national TV, and we're like, wow, this is what we're showing everybody. And it is. It's still, you know what? You know why it's spite? Because it's still a lineup of Baez and McKinstry and Rogers and Badu. And just, I don't know, man. It's been one of the most frustrating seasons of Tiger baseball of my career in Detroit. It's just when they're bad and I know they're going to be bad and I've accepted it, I can somehow work my way around it. They're not all bad. Like, their pitching is playoff good. They should, and again, if Odyssey.com Rewind, if you want to hear what we were talking about, had Scott Harris, in my opinion, done his job, we're not having this conversation. They're in the thick of it.
Right.
And that is, I don't do well with stuff like that. So I admit that's a weakness. It's a personality flaw. So for me, I will go spite, but I'm warning you, it could turn into joy very quickly for me. If I got to see certain things, last night's game had me considering a weed gummy and going to sleep at 7:30. I can't watch baseball like that.
I think that's what the Guardians did last night. It must have took them before the game.
Look, here's the deal. In baseball, you know, Dave, this ain't like the NFL, where, by the way, like the Carolina Panthers will beat someone good. Baseball's 162 games. Mm-hmm. The Guardians are like 30 games over 500. They ain't going to give you full tilt.
And I get
it. I thought they were very lazy at the plate list.
I'm just used to that being a getaway game. When a team says, all right, you know what? We did our job.
Yeah.
It's time to leave.
Yeah, we already
not
took
the first
three games.
Game of the series.
Yeah. And again, I think apathy can play a role in this too because Rico's right. Look, the team's not on TV for most people. Last night, notwithstanding FS1, the park, I think people are speaking. And I'm interested. I like the question when we met about it before the show. I'd love to hear from the people on it. Just where are you at with this team? I mean, they've won 4 in a row, 6 of 8. You're seeing Colt Keith start to hit the ball again. Thank God. You know what Riley Green is. He is your all-star. The pitching's the pitching. But like,
he and Scoob will make the all-star team. It looked as if, wow, the team turned a corner over the weekend. They got the sweep.
You're saying that. I'm not.
No. That's but I'm saying. And then they carry it, and then now you go out and you beat the Guardians. Okay. Can you keep this thing going? Like, this is the feel good that we've been wanting to see for a long time, where it seemed like everything just kind of fell into place. You won a game 1-0. You know what that a 1-0 means? It normally means you lost.
And it don't take much for you to feel good, does it?
Four games
makes you feel good? Rico.
No, Mike, I'm asking the question for the people because we don't get to see the 4-game winning streak that often.
Yes, that much is true.
Okay.
248-539-9797.
That's not me. As a matter of fact, I was trying to go back into the receipts to see what was the over-under. I think it was 5.5. That was the winning streak.
Yeah.
How long of a winning streak they would have.
Look, I'm the idiot who picked them to win 84, 85 games, I think. I actually thought they would be better than this. And that's why I was so upset about not signing offense. Now you look, and the difference between them being good and me being able to be joyous, it is the fact that Scott Harris thumbed his nose at free agency. And oh, by the way, blew $25 million on Mark Canna and Maeda. I mean, come on. Same thing. Like, even if they didn't draft Wyatt Langford, they stuck with Clark, used the extra money to get McGonagall. Fine. If they had brought in Chapman, are we a couple games better? The difference between spite and joy for me, or apathy and joy for fans, be 3 out of the wild card right now versus 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do think Matt Chapman would have made that difference, and I do think arguments to the contrary are becoming increasingly silly.
Joy, spite, apathy.
I'm all in. I love topics like this. I don't care if the people don't. I like this. All right, David, a couple of ticket texts. We'll get to the people. Also, a report on your Detroit Pistons and a possible acquisition. And I'm telling you, I don't think it's a good idea. I will explain. You can then call me a horse bleep. David, what do you got?
Apathy for the Tigers. Last night's run wasn't even earned. That is from Johnny.
Yeah, but hold on. Listen, I'm with you, but I don't care how the runs are scored. Honestly, if they had an 8-run night and only 3 were earned, you think I care? I'm with you, Johnny. I'm fine if you're apathetic. The fact that it's a 1-0 game, earned or not, that's really the problem.
See, what about the Tigers? They're not even on TV, so apathy is my choice.
Yeah, that's fair.
Guys, what's even more sad about last night's crowd was there were a lot of Cleveland fans last night. So think if they didn't come to the game, what it would be.
Okay, but to be fair, whether your team's good or bad, that's going to happen. I agree with you. Look, guys, if I own the team, it wouldn't work this way, okay? You got to spend money to make money. My job is to entice you to come to my park and watch our team. I ain't doing that with Zach McKinstry. I can't change it. I know. I don't know how this works for anybody. When they're good and they're relevant, you'll put 3 million people through the turnstiles. And when you're this and you're not relevant, I don't know. I mean, Aiken.
Seems like you put 300,000.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying, it seems like.
That's why you made me sad earlier in the show when you talked about the crowd and what it used to be like.
Yeah.
And I remember the days leaving a post-game show from Ford Field, walking over. Once you open that door to Ford Field, and it was a playoff game at Comerica Park, you immediately heard and felt the energy. I want those days back.
We're all dying for it.
I need it back,
man. Who the hell doesn't want the team to win? But I you're right. I mean, I know it's a flaw in how I treat teams. I do get spiteful. Because it's like, if I'm an idiot and I can see what your offseason plan should have been and you didn't, come on, man. We could really be in this thing.
Mm-hmm. When they win 15 out of 20, then we can really start paying attention and feel some joy.
It's like I wrote it. That's what would turn the switch. You'd be, remember the old school, like with the trains, and the guy would have to pull the lever so the train goes left and not
switch
right?
The track, yeah.
That's me. If they do something like that, it goes all joy. But they won't. They're not capable.
15 out of 20, they're the hottest team in baseball.
Yeah, they're not capable of it.
What that means? That means that Javi became Javi. Like, guys who you've written off, all of a sudden, you know, Akil Badu is on a 12-game hitting streak.
Oh, Akil Badu. Okay, let me go to the people. We'll go to Marty, 97.1. Marty, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Mike. I don't care anymore. I mean, I don't listen for news about them. I don't listen to the radio. I don't watch the TV.
So you hit the apathy stage.
I am. I mean, if the owner doesn't care, the GM doesn't care, I don't care. I mean, I won't even go if I get free tickets to see a ball game.
See, I will tell you, and I know this is what gets me in trouble. I agree with you. See, I think there's only one way to show how much you care as an owner and a GM, and it's by what you do and what you don't do. And it is very hard for me to get on the air and make a case that there is this deep, urgent passion. I just, that's a hard thing for me to present to my audience. So, Marty, I am with you. If you're not all in to do this, then why should we be? That I agree with you.
Fair.
All right. Good talk. 248-539-9797. David, go ahead.
Someone says it feels like 1994 all over again and the team isn't trying. That is depressing.
No, here's what's depressing. Okay, wait. What's more depressing? Look, if you're the White Sox, who are horrific,
They are starting a long-term rebuild. They are selling all assets. Like, that's why they're going to get rid of Crochet. That's why they'll get rid of Feedy, the whole thing, right? That's one thing. You can just accept we are morbid. We're going to be bad. We're going to sell. We're nowhere close. When you looked at this Tiger team, and we all talked preseason, right? Oh, the negative show at the ticket. Really? I had them winning 85 games. The point I'm making is we're not those teams. We're not the Angels. We're not the White Sox. We're not the Marlins. Mm-hmm. So you're in this space where you know you're not terrible. You're not. But you're not good. And you know the reasons why you're not good. And I personally trace it to owner and president of baseball ops. That's more depressing than if this team was just gum on the bottom of a shoe. For me.
No, because you saw the potential. Everybody saw the potential. And then your pitching staff was everything you thought they were going to be. They came out there and they were dealing. They got it done. And you're like, you know what? If you played in a playoff series, you would have the advantage. But you just don't have the bats. You're not getting the runs. You have players up here who, let's face it, just not good. And you had a player that you really thought was going to be one of your key pieces, one of your core. He's in AAA, and he's lost. I don't know if he can find his way back to Detroit.
The problem, look, I'm not going to defend Spencer Torkelson. All I'll say is this. The idea that it is your get-out-of-jail-free card to just go, well, what'd you want Harris to do? If Torkelson hit, it would all be fine. If your plan was based around one player, I don't care if the player's Julio Rodriguez. I don't care if the player's Ellie De La Cruz. It's baseball. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. Now, NBA, it actually does. Hey, LeBron's leg fell off. Season over. Mm-hmm. That's different. So you look at it as a Braves fan. All your eggs aren't in one basket with Ronald Acuna, and he died.
He did.
Spencer Strider, dead. I mean, look, the equivalent for the Tigers would be Riley Green, dead. Scooble, dead. That's what losing those two players looks like. The difference is you have some depth. You make acquisitions. Mm-hmm. And again, the Braves are not where they want to be. It's been a messed up year. I can't believe this is what their plan was. And that's a bummer because...
Yeah, because your plan was nobody gets hurt and everybody's going to develop and everything's going to be okay.
And I'm going to get to waste $25 million on Mark Canha and Kent Maeda.
That only works in Disney movies. So, sorry.
That's the other... How has there not been more criticism to Scott Harris for $25 million lit on fire? If you look at the payroll of $97 million, $25 million of it is a nothing burger. Then I add Javi's salary. You're really operating with a $45 million team. Mm-hmm. If you tally the numbers.
Wow. Good call on your part.
Thank you. I mean, it's depressing, but I...
It is.
Please listen, it's free, and we will take you to that free baseball at 10 after 6 as they go for 5 in a row. It's just tremendous. All right, opening week, Thursday. So, a tarp on the field at Comerica, just FYI. I want to just touch on the Brandon Ingram thing. You heard Jeremy Otto's update. I've been talking about this for a few weeks, and the reports from around the league, there is no market for Brandon Ingram. Because nobody, including his current team, the New Orleans Pelicans, wants to pay his four-year, $200 million extension that he's eligible for. Mm-hmm. Now, Ingram on surface, is he a good player? Yes. He's not a great player. He's a good player. He's a puzzling player. First of all, he never plays. I mean, if you pull up Brandon Ingram right now and just blurt out random numbers about how many games he plays... The idea of him coming to the Pistons is troubling on a number of fronts because, A, I don't want to pay that extension. I cannot, if the two best players on your team are Brandon Ingram and Cade Cunningham, the best you'll ever see is the play-in. And
so he's put like 50 games a year?
Between
the last couple of years?
Between 48 and 55. Pull it up. The point I'm making is, it's not an ad hominem attack on Brandon Ingram. He's not a bad player. He's not a great player. So if the Pistons are going to acquire him, you're going to be dealing assets like Jaden Ivey, like Jalen Duren. Certainly, you're not dealing Assar Thompson. You're not dealing Ron Holland. You are acquiring wings. The problem I would have in this, guys, is the following. And I know the first thing people are going to say, but losing hasn't netted us the top pick anyways. Fair. Noted. What I don't want to do is get on the treadmill of mediocrity. So signing Tobias Harris, that takes Brandon Ingram out for me. Because if I add Brandon Ingram, if my starting five turns into, let's say it's Cade, it's Beasley, it's Ingram, it's Tobias, and I don't know, say it's Durin, say it's not, who cares? The point is, let's say you win 30 games. All right, well, A, you're not going to be one of the worst four teams in the league. So your lottery odds will be greatly reduced. And you're not going to be good enough to get in the playoffs. You will exist in the space between. And if you pay Ingram, a player whose current team does not want to pay him, you will be stuck with a contract that, I don't want to be dramatic and say it's unmovable, but I don't think people are going to line up for it.
No.
If people won't line up to pay this guy now, what happens when he comes here? And what are his games played? Do you have that?
There you go. Yep, I do. Last year, 64 games. He started games. The year before that, 45. The year before that, 55. The year before that, 61, 62, 52, 59. And
okay, 40. So you're going to put that guy with another guy in Cade Cunningham who can't stay healthy. Guys, look, I won't firebomb it if they do it, but I'm warning you. Not what I would do. Trajan Langdon told you, I will take on big contracts with assets attached. He has not done that. And what I don't want to do here, I mean, Rico, you're your own man. Do whatever the hell you like. You want Brandon Ingram, that's fine. He ain't coming here with first-round picks attached.
No.
And then you're on the hook to pay him. Factually speaking, the Hawks have passed on Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
No, several teams have passed on him here.
See, I told you, for me, I'm waiting to see what happens with Trajan Langdon when it comes to the trade deadline, because you still have the money. And could you be that third team when somebody's desperate and I need that one star player, where somebody may say, I want Brandon Ingram, I want this person. And now you become the dumping ground for picks and all the other things just to make the contracts level out. Yes, I would like to see it happen right now. I'm not trying to be a Trajan Langdon bot, but yes, when you get the job 72 hours before the draft, I got to give you a little bit of leeway. It's not like he had the entire offseason. He just got here and officially got the job minutes before the draft started.
Here's the other angle. If Langdon views beef stew like I do, useless, that money needs to come off your books. That lessens the blow a little bit. It creates the money needed. He's making, I believe, $36 million on the last year of his deal right now. You can do this deal. But I just, my question, it's a lot like
million. Wow.
It's a lot like the Cade thing. Why? What's the why behind it? Now, if you tell me, Mike, we've lost long enough, we got to try to win, fine. But the NBA is not MLB. It's not the NHL, and it's not the NFL. I say that because it's like the poker tournament thing of a chip and a chair. If you get into a poker tournament and you have a seat, you have a chance to go the whole way if things break right. We look at Arizona and Texas in baseball. They get in, they get hot, they win. We go to football. You see a wild card. Get in, get hot, win it. Giants. Hockey. Happens all the time. Basketball has no evidence of that. It doesn't work that way. So I get scared if...
You don't get the eighth seed winning it all. Right. Oh, you won the play-in and then you win the whole thing. No.
Cutsy, you're in the trunk of Joe Pesci's car. So I would be concerned. Now, if you want a positive, okay. Wing, bit of a spacer. His shooting is wildly inconsistent. But New Orleans, familiarity, Fred Vinson, connection. Maybe we can put him back together. I get nervous. If they could bring him here and somehow not have to pay a massive extension, it's a different conversation. But Rico, the Pelicans don't want to be in the Brandon Ingram business. What does that tell you?
Yeah, the only time he played 70, he was in 79 games was his rookie season.
You know what's fun? It's not fun. It's maddening. Look at his three-point percentage by year. Tell me what you see here, David. Ready?
29 rookie year, 39, 33, 39, 38, 32, 39, 35.
Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down.
Which means that this year.
He's due for an up.
39% this year. It's up. Yeah.
Man. All right, David, a couple of ticket texts. We'll touch the table with football. We'll keep an eye on what's going on at Comerica. I believe the tarp is on the field. David, what do you got?
Ingram is the Kawhi Leonard model. Forget that. Don't want him here in Detroit. Ingram literally plays 55 games a year. LOL. Why would anyone want him?
Okay, but.
Well, no one does, factually.
But see, but here's the thing. This is where you don't really get to be that arrogant as a Pistons fan. You won 14 games. So you don't get to sit here and tell me, no, I don't want this blanket. I'm homeless because it has polka dots on it.
I can in fact say that. I don't want Zach LaVine. The only reason I
you
would
won 14
the
games.
Only way I would want him is if you give me picks.
How are
I
you
don't
arrogant?
Want Zach
How are
LaVine.
You arrogant and you
not
won?
Arrogance.
It is. This
no,
player
I don't want the player because the player
us.
Isn't good. Zach LaVine isn't
Your
good.
Your team's not my, good.
My goal, why Mike says you would be in the play-in constantly if you get a player like this, my goal is to make the play-in right now. Maybe not with Brandon Ingram, but to make it. Making it, you won't have that with Zach LaVine. He's not good.
Okay.
David. He's not.
But it's when you look at your roster, you have a whole bunch of not good.
Look, I just think you can say I don't want the player because he doesn't come with assets. I don't think that that's being snobby.
No, with that, that's different. But yeah. just to
that's
say,
what I just said.
No, you're making he's no good.
I said I don't want him. Only if he comes with picks, I want him.
Oh, okay, you made it.
I apologize. It is summertime. I'm supposed to be nice and not yelling.
Okay, you want to know why you're yelling? You need baby powder.
Big takeaway today, huh? Go ahead, Devin.
I would love to see them deal Beast Stew somewhere. I don't want him here. They are trying to make him a player. He is not cut out to be.
Yeah, and again, everything's about role. Like Beef Stew on a really good team as one of the last guys off the bench to give you some energy, to be physical, to maybe occasionally take and make a three. I ain't no problem. Signing him to a 4-year, $60 million deal was a masterclass in losing your job. It's insanity. Total insanity. But look, New Orleans is never going to get out from underneath Brandon Ingram without taking something back. So you could do it, but I really don't want to be the team that pays him four at 206.
You're right about that because here's why he's $36 million this year, wants an extension, it's a 15% trade kicker. So now you also have to pay him that if you trade for him.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Okay, David, you win. Please stop yelling at me.
I'm so sorry. It's summertime. I'll stop.
Shout out Jazzy Cat.
And one of the best 11-to-1 bets I've ever made. All right. It is time. The tarp is coming off the field, Rico. You're going to have baseball tonight. Tomorrow is sketchy as hell. If you have tickets, this weather is about to get wild. Decent shot of a double dip Thursday if you're looking for advanced planning. Decent shot.
According to some. According to others.
What do you mean? No, I'm
our
saying
our own weatherman saying.
No, I'm saying that like tomorrow, I.
Oh no, I'm talking about the double dip. I'm talking about the double dip on Thursday.
Well, that's David puts on his fashion glasses. He gets very. It's provocative.
Well, him and Doppler 7 Gov Milliken. You know,
don't put me the same boat as him.
Okay. Move it along, David. Big finish, please. Yes, David.
We'll start with a few college football issues we got to. First, Michigan and Michigan State win totals. Mike, you asked if their totals seem low. Right now in Vegas, Michigan is 8.5.
It's just tremendous. All right, opening week, Thursday. So a tarp on the field at Comerica, just FYI. I want to just touch on the Brandon Ingram thing. You heard Jeremy Otto's update. I've been talking about this for a few weeks. And the reports from around the league, there is no market for Brandon Ingram because nobody, including his current team, the New Orleans Pelicans, wants to pay his 4-year, $200 million extension that he's eligible for. Mm-hmm. Now, Ingram on surface, is he a good player? Yes. He's not a great player. He's a good player. He's a puzzling player. First of all, he never plays.
I mean, if you pull up Brandon Ingram right now and just blurt out random numbers about how many games he plays, the idea of him coming to the Pistons is troubling on a number of fronts because, A, I don't want to pay that extension. I cannot, if the two best players on your team are Brandon Ingram and Cade Cunningham, the best you'll ever see is the play-in. And
so he's played like 50 games a year
between
last couple of years,
between 48 and 55. Pull it up. The point I'm making is it's not an ad hominem attack on Brandon Ingram. He's not a bad player. He's not a great player. So if the Pistons are going to acquire him, you're going to be dealing assets like Jaden Ivey, like Jalen Duren. Certainly you're not dealing a Sir Thompson. You're not dealing Ron Holland. You are acquiring wings. The problem I would have in this, guys, is the following. And I know the first thing people are going to say, but losing hasn't netted us the top pick anyways. Fair. Noted. What I don't want to do is get on the treadmill of mediocrity. So signing Tobias Harris, that takes Brandon Ingram out for me. Because if I add Brandon Ingram, if my starting five turns into, let's say it's Cade, it's Beasley, it's Ingram, it's Tobias, and I don't know, say it's Duren, say it's not, who cares? The point is, let's say you win 30 games. All right, well, A, you're not going to be one of the worst four teams in the league, so your lottery odds will be greatly reduced, and you're not going to be good enough to get in the playoffs. You will exist in the space between. And if you pay Ingram, a player whose current team does not want to pay him, you will be stuck with a contract that, I don't want to be dramatic and say it's unmovable, but I don't think people are going to line up for it. No. If people won't line up to pay this guy now, what happens when he comes here? And what are his games played? Do you have
that?
There you
go. Yep, I do. Last year, 64 games. He started games. The year before that, 45. The year before that, 55. The year before that, 61, 62, 52, 59. And
okay, 40. So you're going to put that guy with another guy in Cade Cunningham who can't stay healthy. Guys, look, I won't firebomb it if they do it, but I'm warning you. Not what I would do. Trajan Langdon told you, I will take on big contracts with assets attached. He has not done that. And what I don't want to do here, I mean, Rico, you're your own man. Do whatever the hell you like. You want Brandon Ingram, that's fine. He ain't coming here with first-round picks attached.
No.
And then you're on the hook to pay him. Factually speaking, the Hawks have passed on Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Now, several teams have passed on him here.
See, I told you, for me, I'm waiting to see what happens with Trajan Langdon when it comes to the trade deadline because you still have the money. And could you be that third team when somebody's desperate and I need that one star player where somebody may say, I want Brandon Ingram. I want this person. And now you become the dumping ground for picks and all the other things just to make the contracts level out. Yes, I would like to see it happen right now. I'm not trying to be a Trajan Langdon bot, but yes, when you get the job 72 hours before the draft, I got to give you a little bit of leeway. It's not like he had the entire offseason. He just got here and officially got the job minutes before the draft started.
Here's the other angle. If Langdon views beef stew like I do, useless, that money needs to come off your books. That lessens the blow a little bit. It creates the money needed. He's making, I believe, $36 million on the last year of his deal right now. You can do this deal. But my question, it's a lot like...
$36 million? Wow.
It's a lot like the Cade thing. Why? What's the why behind it? Now, if you tell me, Mike, we've lost long enough, we got to try to win, fine. But the NBA is not MLB. It's not the NHL, and it's not the NFL. I say that because it's like the poker tournament thing of a chip and a chair. If you get into a poker tournament and you have a seat, you have a chance to go the whole way if things break right. We look at Arizona and Texas in baseball. They get in, they get hot, they win. We go to football. You see a wild card. Get in, get hot, win it. Giants. Hockey. Happens all the time. Basketball has no evidence of that. It doesn't work that way. So I get scared if...
You don't get the eighth seed winning it all. Right. Oh, you won the play-in and then you win the whole thing. No.
Cutsy, you're in the trunk of Joe Pesci's car. So I would be concerned. Now, if you want a positive, okay, wing, bit of a spacer. His shooting is wildly inconsistent, but New Orleans, familiarity, Fred Vinson, connection, maybe we can put him back together. I get nervous. If they could bring him here and somehow not have to pay a massive extension, it's a different conversation. But Rico, the Pelicans don't want to be in the Brandon Ingram business. What does that tell you?
Yeah, the only time he played 70, he was in 79 games was his rookie season.
You know what's fun? It's not fun. It's maddening. Look at his three-point percentage by year. Tell me what you see here, David. Ready?
29 rookie year, 39, 33, 39, 38, 32, 39, 35.
Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down.
Which means that this year.
He knew for an up.
39% this year. It's up. Yeah.
All right, David, a couple of ticket texts. We'll touch the table with football. We'll keep an eye on what's going on at Comerica. I believe the tarp is on the field. David, what do you got?
Ingram is the Kawhi Leonard model. Forget that. Don't want him here in Detroit. Ingram literally plays 55 games a year. LOL. Why would anyone want him?
Okay, but...
Well, no one does, factually.
But here's the thing. This is where you don't really get to be that arrogant as a Pistons fan. You won 14 games. So you don't get to sit here and tell me, no, I don't want this blanket. I'm homeless because it has polka dots on it.
I can in fact say that. I don't want Zach LaVine. The only reason I
you
would
won 14
the
games.
Only way I would want him is if you give me picks.
How are
I
you
don't
arrogant?
Want Zach
How are
LaVine.
You arrogant and you
it's not
won?
Arrogance?
It is. This player.
I don't want the player because the
us.
Player isn't good. Zach LaVine isn't
Your
good.
Your team's not
my,
good.
My goal, why Mike says you would be in the play-in constantly if you get a player like this. My goal is to make the play-in right now. Maybe not with Brandon Ingram, but to make it. Making it, you won't have that with Zach LaVine. He's not good.
Okay.
David, he's not.
But it's one when you look at your roster, you have a whole bunch of not good.
Look, I just think you can say I don't want the player because he doesn't come with assets. I don't think that's being snobby.
No. With that, that's different. But yeah. just
That's
say,
what I just said.
No, you're making he's no good.
I said I don't want him only if he comes with picks I want him.
Okay. You made it.
I apologize. It is summertime. I'm supposed to be nice and not yelling.
Okay, you want
to
know why you're yelling? You need baby powder.
Big takeaway today, huh? Go ahead, Devin.
I would love to see them deal Beast Stew somewhere. I don't want him here. They are trying to make him a player. He is not cut out to be.
Yeah, and again, everything's about role. Like Beef Stew on a really good team as one of the last guys off the bench to give you some energy, to be physical, to maybe occasionally take and make a three. I ain't no problem. Signing him to a four-year, $60 million deal was a masterclass in losing your job. It's insanity. Total insanity. But look, New Orleans is never going to get out from underneath Brandon Ingram without taking something back. So you could do it. But I really don't want to be the team that pays him four at 206.
You're right about that because here's why he's $36 million this year, wants an extension, as a 15% trade kicker. So now you also have to pay him that if you trade for him.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Okay, David, you win. Please stop yelling at me.
I'm so sorry. It's summertime. I'll stop.
Shout out Jazzy Cat.
And one of the best 11-to-1 bets I've ever made. All right. It is time. The tarp is coming off the field, Rico. You're going to have baseball tonight. Tomorrow is sketchy as hell. If you have tickets, this weather is about to get wild. Decent shot of a double dip Thursday if you're looking for advanced planning. Decent shot.
According to some. According to others.
What do you mean? No, I'm
Our
saying.
Our own weatherman saying.
No, I'm saying that like tomorrow, I.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the double dip. I'm talking about the double dip on Thursday.
Well, that's. David puts on his fashion glasses. He gets very. It's provocative.
Well, him and Doppler 7 Gov Milliken, you know.
Don't put me the same boat as him.
Okay, move it along. David, big finish, please. Yes, David.
We'll start with a few college football issues we got to. First, Michigan and Michigan State win totals. Mike, you asked if their totals seem low. Right now in Vegas, Michigan is 8.5, Michigan State 4.5.
All I look, 8.5 for Michigan felt low to me. It just did. The State one, all I'll tell you is, if that's accurate, burn the stadium down. Like, if you go 4-8 in the NIL and portal era, you know what? Just end it. Get the bulldozer.
Yeah, I'm simply going to say, as far as MSU.
Texas?
No, I'm that meme. I don't know what they are because they're bringing in over 40 different transfers and new players. Vegas doesn't know. No one knows, Mike, what they're going to be. For Michigan, number actually came down. It started off at 9.5. Now it's down to 8.5. So, little concerning.
It just feels low. I don't know. Then again, you won't know the other team's plays. It could be more difficult. Go ahead, David.
What we do know in college football is that Ollie Gordon is going to play, according to his coach, Mike Gundy. He won't miss any playing time after the DUI.
I only took issue with the fact, if you get up at the podium and you say, look, it's a team matter. We'll handle discipline within. Ollie's not going to enjoy his mornings. You know, he's going to be running the steps. Cool. If you tell me, straight up, spend the first half of the opener. That's your punishment for being a ding-a-ling. But for Gundy to go out and go, nope, not missing any time. I'm doing what's best for the school. And by the way, his punishment might be 50 carries in the opener. You get to a point where you go, are the adults even running the sport anymore? It just bothered me, but I'm bothered about a lot with college football. I admit that.
So his punishment in a game that they should probably win, you're not going to sit out in the fourth, in the second half like everybody else. You're going to be in there.
Which will lead to his Heisman campaign.
Here's the thing. If you're Gundy, you have to show support for your player. Why? Because he could leave at any moment. You got to make sure that he's happy. And Gundy is also telling anybody else, I will back you no matter what. If you want to transfer to my school, you never have to worry about any type of punishment. So long as you don't kill anybody, we could work around it.
I think he can work around that.
Oh, that's
he can work
nothing.
Around that. That is nothing. So Gundy supports his players. What Mike doesn't support is the idea of getting Brandon Ingram into town for the Pistons. Not a good idea.
I just think, A, there is no market for him. New Orleans has been shut down at every turn. You will have to pay him 4 years at 205. I don't want to do that. And again, what's the end game? Yes, we need to get Cade help. Noted. But if I do this, I'm now capped out. I am on the hook with a deal that if I can't trade him now, how would you ever trade him on the new contract with a 15% trade kicker? And there's a lot of duality to Cade and Ingram. I just, it's not for me. I wanted to take in picks, assets.
It's now how you want to see the team get built and get improved by bringing in somebody who doesn't.
It feels Villanueva.
Ooh, wow.
It feels Ben Gordon.
Move just to make a move.
But I got the money.
So I got to do something. I got to buy something. So,
yeah, right. Yeah. Now, is he a better player than them?
But like, sir, yeah. That's a submarine with a screen door. Don't care.
Jesus.
Well, what we
I
found,
gotta use that. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. What we found out today is that something else that is pretty good, and Rico compared it to the filling of a bidet, and that is powdering your balls.
Well,
it is a game changer.
The context is the Minnesota Twins, Joe Ryan, caught on video during a home run celebration.
So it wasn't just powdering your balls.
Openly powdering his plums. It was a shocking thing to see on live television, and even more surprising when our own Evan Jenkins says he does it every day. Apparently, that's going to be a new feature of Saratoga. Powder.
It's game changing.
We'll find out. Go ahead.
Yeah, we will find out.
I'm just shocked that you guys haven't done it before.
Never done it. But we do have a game changer that you can watch in Major League Baseball right now. And there's a stat. He's done something that no one's ever done. Paul Skenes, first player to go, one, be drafted first, and then go to the All-Star game the next year.
It was shocking.
That's crazy.
Yeah, for a sport as old as baseball. And I know, like, if a high schooler gets taken number one, they're not going to be up the next year. But you would think someone would have done it. This is where Skenes is must-see TV. Skenes is what will get people to your ballpark. The Tigers desperately need that type of difference maker. Man, I wonder if they could have drafted that last year.
Oh,
go there.
All right.
Just
well,
let it go. What, I'll never let go, Jack.
What they could have done is maybe.
You know what? Then again, you can. I've never let go of Tyrese Halliburton. So you know what? Good for you.
We need to do a topic on this tomorrow. I have to let go. I have to let it go. No, tomorrow you're going to let it go too.
No, I'm not.
You're going to put a rose in the ocean and watch it float away. And it's going to have Halliburton's face on it.
I'm not. No, I'm not. As a matter of fact, I may buy everybody French fries.
Healing.
In honor of Killian Hayes.
July. It's healing season.
Kenny, you want French fries?
All right. Listen.
Couldn't even make his own Olympic team.
Okay. Tiger baseball's coming up next. We will talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And one of the best 11-to-1 bets I've ever made. All right. It is time. The tarp is coming off the field, Rico. You're going to have baseball tonight. Tomorrow is sketchy as hell. If you have tickets, this weather is about to get wild. Decent shot of a double dip Thursday if you're looking for advanced planning. Decent shot.
According to some. According to others.
What do you mean? No, I'm
our
saying
own weatherman saying.
No, I'm saying that like tomorrow. I.
Oh no, no, I'm talking about the double dip. I'm talking about the double dip on Thursday.
Well, that's David puts on his fashion glasses. He gets very. It's provocative.
Well, him and Doppler 7 Gov Milliken. You know.
Don't put me the same boat as him.
Okay. Move it along, David. Big finish, please. Yes, David.
We'll start with a few college football issues we got to. First, Michigan and Michigan State win totals. Mike, you asked if their totals seem low. Right now in Vegas, Michigan is 8.5, Michigan State 4.5.
Look, 8.5 for Michigan felt low to me. It just did. The state one, all I'll tell you is, if that's accurate, burn the stadium down. Like, if you go 4-8 in the NIL and portal era, you know what? Just end it. Get the bulldozer.
Yeah, I'm simply going to say, as far as MSU.
Texas?
No, I'm that meme. I don't know what they are because they're bringing in over 40 different transfers and new players. Vegas doesn't know. No one knows, Mike, what they're going to be. For Michigan, number actually came down. It started off at 9.5. Now it's down to 8.5. So, little concerning.
It just feels low. I don't know. Then again, you won't know the other team's plays. It could be more difficult. Go ahead, David.
What we do know in college football is that Ollie Gordon is going to play, according to his coach, Mike Gundy. He won't miss any playing time after the DUI.
I only took issue with the fact, if you get up at the podium and you say, look, it's a team matter. We'll handle discipline within. Ollie's not going to enjoy his mornings. You know, he's going to be running the steps. Cool. If you tell me, straight up, spend the first half of the opener. That's your punishment for being a ding-a-ling. But for Gundy to go out and go, nope, not missing any time. I'm doing what's best for the school. And by the way, his punishment might be 50 carries in the opener. You get to a point where you go, are the adults even running the sport anymore? It just bothered me, but I'm bothered about a lot with college football. I admit that.
So his punishment in a game that they should probably win, you're not going to sit out in the fourth, in the second half like everybody else. You're going to be in there.
Which will lead to his Heisman campaign.
Here's the thing. If you're Gundy, you have to show support for your player. Why? Because he could leave at any moment. You got to make sure that he's happy. And Gundy is also telling anybody else, I will back you no matter what. If you want to transfer to my school, you never have to worry about any type of punishment. So long as you don't kill anybody, we could work around it.
I think he can work around that. That is nothing. So Gundy supports his players. What Mike doesn't support is the idea of getting Brandon Ingram into town for the Pistons. Not a good idea.
I just think, A, there is no market for him. New Orleans has been shut down at every turn. You will have to pay him 4 years at $205. I don't want to do that. And again, what's the end game? Yes, we need to get Cade help. Noted. But if I do this, I'm now capped out. I am on the hook with a deal that if I can't trade him now, how would you ever trade him on the new contract with a 15% trade kicker? And there's a lot of duality to Cade and Ingram. I just, it's not for me. I wanted to take in picks, assets.
It's not how you want to see the team get built and get improved by bringing in somebody who doesn't.
It feels Villanueva.
Ooh, wow.
It feels Ben Gordon.
Move just to make a move.
But I got the money.
So I got to do something. I got to buy something. So,
yeah, right. Yeah. Now, is he a better player than them?
Like, sir, yeah. That's a submarine with a screen door. Don't care.
Jesus.
Well, what we
I
found,
gotta use that. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. What we found out today is that something that else that is pretty good, and Rico compared it to the filling of a bidet, and that is powdering your balls.
Well,
it is a game changer.
The context is the Minnesota Twins, Joe Ryan, caught on video during a home run celebration.
So it wasn't just powdering your balls?
Openly powdering his plums. It was a shocking thing to see on live television. And even more surprising when our own Evan Jenkins says he does it every day. Apparently, that's going to be a new feature of Saratoga. Powder.
Game changing.
We'll find out. Go ahead.
Yeah, we will find out.
I'm what just we... shocked that you guys haven't done it before.
Never done it. Never done it. But we do have a game changer that you can watch in Major League Baseball right now. And there's a stat. He's done something that no one's ever done. Paul Skeens, first player to go, one, be drafted first, and then go to the All-Star game the next year.
It was shocking.
That's crazy.
Yeah, for a sport as old as baseball. And I know, like, if a high schooler gets taken number one, they're not going to be up the next year. But you would think someone would have done it. This is where Skeens is must-see TV. Skeens is what will get people to your ballpark. The Tigers desperately need that type of difference maker. Man, I wonder if they could have drafted that last year.
Go there.
All right.
Well,
let it go. I'll never let go, Jack.
What they could have done is maybe.
You know what? You can. I've never let go of Tyrese Halliburton. So you know what? Good for you.
We need to do a topic on this tomorrow. I have to let go. I have to let it go. No, tomorrow you're going to let it go too.
No, I'm not.
You're going to put a rose in the ocean and watch it float away, and it's going to have Halliburton's face on it.
I'm not. No, I'm not. As a matter of fact, I may buy everybody French fries in honor of Killian Hayes.
July, it's healing season.
Kenny, you want French fries?
All right. Listen.
Couldn't even make his own Olympic team.
Okay. Tiger baseball's coming up next. We will talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.